Welcome to Another Day Above Ground, a show for, by, and about baby boomers. It's the podcast for people who have no idea how to download a podcast. And now, here's your host, Dale Irvin.
Welcome, my fellow boomers. I'm Dale Irvin, and you have reached another day above ground. This is the podcast that tells you how to spend and be happy each and every day that you're above ground. Because let's admit it, we're not getting any younger. So we're going to talk about all things boomer. And to do that with me, I have my two fellow boomers. First, from the lovely state of Indiana, the man I call the Aristotle of comedy, Mr. Tim Slagle.
Hey, the Bears were kept out of the playoffs by a bad kick. And I think I know why they call them the Bears, because you pretty much can't bear to watch anymore.
And if you've ever tried to watch a bear kick, they can't do it. Oh, sure, they can rip your throat out, but they can't really kick. I've never heard my daughter swear like last night watching that game. Oh, my. I was a little upset, but holy Christmas. She was rather upset, but...
The ball bounced three times off the goalposts.
It was like a pinball move.
You could have put a sad trombone behind that. It was like,
he's probably experiencing a rusty trombone. But anyhow, please, let's bring some sanity, some reason to it. And we need the feminine voice, and it belongs to Carolyn Strauss in Denver, Colorado.
Happy New Year, everybody, and I am so sad for your Bears, although I saw a bear ride a tricycle once. I think so. Hey, maybe they just need to grow up a little.
He was just practicing on the sidelines. So.
And the thing is, he could actually go 100 yards.
Oh, well, yesterday certainly made it hard to keep a New Year's resolution. But before I get into that, how was your New Year's? Did everybody have a good New Year? Tim, you had a big festival by you, I know.
Oh, yeah, they had the pierogi drop. That's Whiting, Indiana. It's used to be a big Polish community back when it was a steel town and a refinery town. I don't know how Polish it still is, but they have a pierogi fest every summer, and now they have a pierogi drop on New Year's. It's at the midnight, they drop the pierogi.
And it was on television. I'm watching this on television, and it's like a 12-foot illuminated pierogi, and a pierogi has no shape. They could have said it's a big lit turd fest because it has no shape. And it's
or they could move it up to the UP and say it's a pasty drop.
Wait a minute. Was it a meat pierogi or a cheese pierogi? Which one drops faster?
I think the one with sauerkraut, because it's got gas. Carolyn, what did you do on New Year's?
I am such a boomer now. It's depressing. I watched the ball drop at 10 o'clock because I'm in mountain time. And then I watched it drop around again at 11 o'clock, you know, on TV, hanging out with some friends. I got home around 10. And by 11:30, I was asleep. You're not going to stay up until midnight if you're a boomer. But I woke up feeling great on the 1st of January.
Well, good.
Yeah.
Good. I wish my New Year's started out well. You know what? We had it planned. We were going to go see a show because some friends of mine were in this show, which was in Downers Grove. It was very close by. So I said, oh, we'll go to dinner at this lovely restaurant, basically right across the street. And it's an Italian restaurant, white tablecloth. It's the only halfway classy joint in the city. So I called for reservations. They said, well, we're doing reservations in 2-hour blocks, 5 to 7, 7 to 9, 9 to 11. I said, well, I'll take the 5 to 7. And she goes, okay, so 5 o'clock. So I get there, and it's about 10 minutes after 5. And I go to the guy, and he's looking. I said, I know I made a reservation. He goes, I see it here, but, you know, you're about 15 minutes late. I gave that table away. Now, you can imagine my reaction to this, and I kind of went a little New Year's ballistic on him, and it just wasn't ugly to the point where I'm ranting and raving in the restaurant, I will never be back here again. You will get the worst ratings from me. I can't believe you would do this, and so, you know, I don't know if I should mention the name of the restaurant, Capri, but it's, you know, it was a nice place, but I will not go back. You don't do that to somebody on New Year's Eve, 10 minutes late on New Year's Eve.
It My wasn't goodness. New Year's Eve. It was New Year's afternoon. What, exactly. 5 o'clock? It's not New Year's Eve.
I know.
It was New Year's. It was New Year's early bird.
Exactly. Except the prices were the same. You know. So yeah. So that was. And the show was fine, but that, you know, that was just a bad way to start the new year. But I'm over it now because I put a really nasty review on TripAdvisor, and so far a lot of people have read it. So.
Where did you end up eating?
We wound up going back home because it was only like a mile away, and I think we had cereal. And then we went back for the show, and after the show, just started drinking.
And have you stopped yet?
I haven't stopped. No, I should have stopped. That's a big thing. People give what is it called? A dry January. And they were even broaching baby boomers, you know, say don't drink in January because it's supposed to be good for your health. It's a hashtag, even hashtag dry January. Have you guys heard about this?
No, but I actually heard something interesting is that you can donate if you know someone who needs a liver transplant and they match your type, you can donate up to a third of your liver. And here's the amazing part. It all grows back within 6 weeks. That's all it takes.
Wow.
So, yeah. So if you go 6 weeks without drinking, you're good as new.
Why wouldn't you just donate the part that is bad? And then you have a good two-thirds of a good liver. Then you, like, in 6 weeks later, you have a perfect liver. Doesn't say you have to donate the good part.
No. You have to donate the good part to fix the bad part in the other person. You didn't do well in anatomy, I don't think. You know, yeah, you take the good liver out. Didn't you ever play Operation? You take the good liver out, don't hit the buzzer, and then you put it in with the bad liver. And then the bad liver, you throw that away.
The game up.
My favorite house line was, you can't live without one. That's why it's called a liver.
Oh, that's good. The game Operation, though, was very damaging to me because I thought all the parts could be measured with a tweezer. So as an adult, I was very shocked.
I was a little wise kid. I took the battery out, and they said, you can't do that. I said, hey, I don't operate without the patient under anesthesia.
That's brilliant.
And as, give me the money. I'm the best doctor here.
And as a grown-up, I expected when a man was laying there and I touched something, his nose would light up. It just doesn't happen.
You haven't spent enough time at the circus.
Did anyone actually ever play Operation?
Oh yeah.
Does anyone actually know the? No. I know we all sat around trying to get the stuff out with the tweezers. But did you ever actually play the game? Do you have any idea how to play the game? I mean, there actually is a game involved with cards and money, and you did.
Yeah, we actually played when I was little. Hey, I'm a Virgo. I was a little Virgo child, so I played everything by the rules, man. Yeah, and whoever collected the most body parts with the cards won or something. I mean, it's been what 50 years since I played the game, but it was a super fun, weird game.
That was the same rules that Jeffrey Dahmer played by. Whoever wins gets the most body parts. Well, they say if you don't drink for a month, you're going to feel less bloated, possibly lose weight, feel more clear-headed, sleep better, digest stuff better, have a stronger immune system. Nobody talks about the side effects. For instance, you get up in the morning, the room stands still. Got to be prepared for that. You go to the store, you actually remember why you went there. You know. No, I'm going to continue drinking because, you know, the doctor said right now I have the liver of an 80-year-old, so I want to, you know, as long as I know I only got to borrow a third of somebody else's, that'll be fine.
The interesting thing about that is I guarantee that if you don't drink for a month, it's going to be the longest month of the year.
And lonely. And lonely.
And why do you want to do that? Why do you want to do that in January?
Exactly. Do it in February and then take a day off for that for Valentine's Day, you know.
Then you only got 27 days. Sharpest sword is that's the month.
I can do that on my head for crying out loud. Jeez. And when I was really drinking, I did. But one of the things that you should do now, it's the first of the year as a baby boomer, you may want to update your passwords, because one of the big things we got to be worried about in this cyber society of ours is getting hacked. And all the time I'm getting requests from people on Facebook that are friends of mine from a long time ago. Somebody hacked their account and now tries to be my friend under their name. It's real easy to do. And the worst thing is the passwords, because people don't really think about their passwords and they don't change them ever. So yeah, they say the worst password, of course, is 123456. I mean, are you that lazy that you can't, you know, think of something else? Just use
yeah, at least 654321.
Password
make
is the
make
number
them work
two.
A little.
The password is number two. Monkey is in there. Who would have thought that, you know, monkey was a was what? Monkey Charlie Donald is a frequently used password, and so
Monkey
is,
Charlie Donald, all three words.
No, just Charlie by itself and Donald by himself.
Oh, okay. Because Monkey Charlie Donald sounds like a World War II code.
Or at full Monkey Charlie Donald. 123456, get ready to launch the bomb. Thank you, password. Oh, so change your passwords, my friends. I recommend you change them to something nobody would ever think of. Can still be a word you know, like speculum. And nobody's going to use that as a password.
Unless you're a really good OBGYN, and then it's a brilliant password. Right? Okay, so I have one. I think we should take old commercial slogans from when we were little and when we were younger, and they would be great passwords because nobody, all the hackers are like 20-something. So nobody would ever think of where's the beef one.
That's true. Right? LSMFT. How about that? There's a good one. Lucky Strike means fine tobacco. And yeah, that's a good idea. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, so now all you boomers, write that down. Some of you are writing, all right, I'm going to be Oreo 7. All right, that's good. Tag.
Let's get in, Mikey. He'll try anything.
You could also use famous people like O.J. Simpson. One. Yes.
Aristophanes is one of mine because nobody knows how to spell it.
Nobody
including
knows.
Me. I got to change it every week. You know. But, you know, another thing that we have to focus on, I think, in the new year, besides change, once we get our passwords changed and we get all undrunk for a month, then we got to start understanding millennials more, because you know, they're using a lot of words that we're not familiar with, and we need to figure out what they're doing. Like, one of the top ones is they say, sorry, not sorry, which means, you know, sorry your cat died, but it's really nothing to me. You know? I mean, that's a terrible thing.
No, it kind of fits with the personality, though.
Well, that's true. Yeah, that's true. And Netflix and chill. What are you going to do tonight? Netflix and chill, which, you know, that would, to me, would mean standing outside of a department store watching Netflix on the TVs in the winter.
But
it actually do you realize this? It actually doesn't mean people our age think it means watching television. It does not.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Yes, it's a code word for the nasty.
So was going downstairs to watch television when we were kids.
On New Year's Eve, I was with a friend of mine. On New Year's Eve, and he said something brilliant, I thought. He said, Netflix isn't a network. Netflix is a lifestyle. I'm thinking they should use that, man. Netflix is a lifestyle. Because you get into that, and you get sucked down that rabbit hole and never get out.
Actually, if you happen to see any financial reports today, Netflix is a bankrupt.
Is it?
Really?
Yep. Yep.
Oh, wow.
They're now saying speculation is that they have debt that they will never be able to repay.
Isn't that
their entertainment budget for a while? I have inside sources was around $4 billion. That's how much they were spending just on content.
And we couldn't get them to chip in for one of our shows.
Isn't that because all three of us and everybody we know are all sharing the same Netflix password? Isn't that why they're going down the tubes? By the way, it's password one.
Yeah, and chill. You know, that's a new. My neighbor, when I first met my new neighbors, you know, they're younger millennial people, and they described me as very chill. And I go, I don't understand. Is that good? You know, are my nipples sticking up? I don't know. Understand what chill is. But apparently, it's supposed to be in our language. It would be cool or groovy or possibly neato. So what else?
It can be. It also means relax, doesn't it?
I believe so. Yeah,
I'm gonna chill.
Because you haven't called the cops on them once. You're a very chill neighbor.
Yep.
No, that was the other neighbor I called the cops on. And this one here, wait, is BAE, and I don't know
bae.
If it's pronounced as a word.
Yo, bae.
And it means
bae. Yo, yeah, my bae.
Before anyone else. So words likely it started as an attempt to say baby or babe, but then they realized halfway through they didn't have the energy for the last vowel. So
it's actually actually an acronym too, but I can't think of it right now.
Before anyone else.
Yeah. Okay. Oh, duh.
No,
you said that. You said that, didn't you?
Duh is an acronym for dogs under holes, I believe.
Dogs under hosiery.
It's under hosiery. And speaking of words, there's several words this year that got banished. The Michigan University has taken it upon themselves to banish some of the words that they think are overused and that we just don't need anymore. For instance, this year they are banishing the word POTUS, which is President of the United States, and FLOTUS, First Lady of the United States.
Can't we just banish them and keep the word?
if you rearrange the letters in POTUS, it's not far off from stupid. You know, we need one more vowel. And other things they want to bet is the phrase wrap my head around, which I agree with. That's a stupid thing to say. I'm going to wrap my head around that. Your head's usually not malleable.
You know? Usually you wrap that around your head.
Exactly. or Carolyn, I don't know. Maybe it makes sense to you. You got to wrap your head around something, but I don't know. So.
Well, what part? Sorry, what part of my head?
Yeah, usually you wrap your head around something. It's a very bad accident.
Also, grapple. I don't even know what grapple is, but that's being. Is that that little snow pellet thing, grapple? Grapple is being banished, and eschew, E-S-C-H-E-W, eschew is going to be banished.
Because so many people use that in common language, eschew.
Eschew, I eschew that comment, and I'm trying to grapple with it, you know, but it's collusion. That's
well,
what it is.
Well, if your horse is limping, he probably needs a shoe.
Eschew that 50 times before swallowing.
And isn't grapple that liqueur that tastes kind of like cough medicine? You go to a Greek restaurant and they give you grapple?
No,
that's grappia. Grapple is the one that they make a martini with at girl bars.
Gotcha. I'd like a grapple martini, please. Hold the olives.
And two other words, collusion has been banished, you know, so somebody needs to tell President Trump not to say that anymore.
Only by POTUS.
Only by POTUS, yeah. And platform, which, you know, how are we going to describe ugly shoes anymore? So I have no idea. All right, let's move on. Carolyn, this is your line of work, line of expertise, and that is makeup and how people look and styles and fashions. Carolyn once sold, I believe, was 1 million pieces of designer fashions on the Home Shopping Network in a day or something like that.
$1 million in a day. Wow. Yeah, I got women to get off the couch to buy clothes they clearly didn't need and didn't know they wanted, and spent $1 million in a day on $39 product. I got to tell you, and you know what? Here's the thing. If I can do that from a TV screen, if you're selling stuff and you're in the room with them and you can't sell, what are you doing? I mean, seriously, right?
Well, I think you ought to get to work on this podcast.
I'm working on it.
start selling this, baby. But apparently, Helen Mirren and Jane Fonda are leading some stars for L'Oreal Paris to help people change the perception of aging. And Jane Fonda, I believe, said it best. She goes, aging is not for pussies.
Yeah. So, okay. L'Oreal got...
They don't age well, I'll tell you that. You know,
Well, according to Betty White, they can take a pounding.
Those poor old cats. All right. So L'Oreal got really smart. And this year they're doing a whole campaign for us, for baby boomers, with stars like Helen Mirren, and Jane Fonda. Jane Fonda, who is 79, who looks so amazing. I clearly want what she's having. And they're doing all of these cosmetics that will brighten our faces and get rid of some of the lines, you know, mitigate some of the wrinkles. And I think it's really fantastic. Good on L'Oreal. And they would be an amazing sponsor for this podcast.
Hasn't that been done before? I mean, haven't people for centuries come up with wrinkle removers and stuff
like that?
Yeah,
but now we're promoting beauty at any age. So that's the thing. Look, I was a model, for God's sakes, when I was in my 20s and 30s. I was a model. I look at those pictures of myself from my 20s and 30s, and I don't look exactly like that anymore. So I want people to see me as beautiful as do all of my baby boomer friends in our 50s. And hopefully 60s.
Well, I think what you need to do is you need to find that guy that Jane Fonda hired to tighten that knot on the back of her head.
I do actually want to find her surgeon. I am all over that.
I mean, a couple more facelifts, she's going to have a goatee, you know? And that's
See, and I'm thinking Dolly Parton when I think that. I'm thinking, you know, how does she keep any space below her neck?
I know. She's a little tiny person with just like ginormous hooters. And I can imagine it's hard for her to walk. She got little tiny lady feet, you know. And how do you stay upright without poles?
Yeah, but she is looking fantastic. So beauty at any age. Now, men, it's your turn. What are you going to do to stay attractive as boomers?
Okay, well... For me, I'm going to wear more masks, and I'm going to lie on Tinder
and date women whose eyes are going bad. It's all good. It's easy.
Oh yeah, you hang out at the cataract clinic. You offer to drive them home. Oh, Bambi. Next thing you know, it's a beautiful thing. And the next thing we know, folks, is we're out of time. So this has been a delightful session with us. If you are a baby boomer, know a baby boomer, maybe your parents are baby boomers, encourage everybody to listen to this podcast. Join us on our website, anotherdayaboveground.com, and you can learn more about each of us and more about the future shows coming up. Any of you guys got anything to promote in the next week?
Hey, I'll be in Buffalo, New York. One big show Saturday, January 12th.
All right. You can use my favorite joke up there, and people say, I'm from Buffalo. I say, hey, I'm from regular parents. But they hate that. Carolyn, what are you doing?
I am actually, so I'm a member of the Screen Actors Guild, and I get to vote on all of the performances that have been nominated. So my tough assignment this week is to catch up on all the movies that are nominated. So I get to watch movies.
Me too. They just started coming in.
Yeah.
I got Vice today. I've been looking forward to seeing
it. I saw it. It's amazing.
Okay, cool. I'll watch it tonight. Well, good. Yeah, so you and I watch movies, and then believe it or not, we get to vote. And, you know, I don't know why they would trust. They could trust you, but why you made movies. But why would they trust a comic? But that's okay. It's all about trust. Anyhow, ladies and gentlemen, I'll trust you're going to be back with us next week. Speaking for everybody, it's another day above ground. Look at every day like that. You'll be happier. You'll be more satisfied. And you'll be back here next week for another podcast. Take care.
And that's it for another Day Above Ground. For Dale, Tim, and Carolyn, I'm Farad Muhammad. Thanks for listening.